League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, left my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on.
As we continue our tribute to List Season, Sean has found another list we can talk about. We'll get to that. But first, it is Texans time. Camp has begun. Guys are out there in helmets and shorts doing stuff that's kind of like football. And we have our first O-line update as far as the starting five for at least the initial media viewing, whoever was working with the ones to start. And it's a change. We heard from Jake Andrews. At least we referenced Jake Andrews. It was on a 610 program, so we didn't play the audio, I believe. But Jake Andrews was talking about how they're going to run the ball, and you're going to see it when we get out there. Well,
hell yeah.
He's not the starting center to start off camp. That belongs to Jared Patterson. So, okay. So maybe Jake Andrews is speaking out of turn, maybe?
Or
just giving us the overall.
Maybe he knows what's up.
Yeah, maybe just because he can view it from the sideline.
Yeah.
He can tell us what it's all about. Now, to be fair to Jake Andrews, he was the guy who the media saw as a starting center before training camp began, before they broke for a couple weeks, had some time off. So he was in the OTAs and mini camps, seen in the starting role, at least for the initial day of training camp. He is not. And I guess the big surprise would be Erante Ursere is the starting right tackle, which we assume would be Blake Fisher's role. He was your second-round pick from last year. Right now, for the first day, is Erante Ursere. We'll see if that continues going forward. So it's Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, Jared Patterson, Titus Howard, Erante Ursere. So that would be three new players in your starting five. And considering how bad they were, who am I to push back on using three new bodies to help that offensive line?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
That's why the OTA stuff, we weren't reading a lot into who the starting group was, because we knew that training camp probably going to be a different starting. Like, none of these guys are so invested in, maybe other than Blake Fisher and Titus Howard, that it was like unthinkable if, you know, they were out of the lineup. And even now, Blake Fisher's not in day one opening lineup for the for the offensive line in training camp. Even still, I'm like, it's day one of training camp. Like, it should be basically not actual open tryouts, but open tryouts among the whatever 12 offensive linemen that they have at camp. Like, none of these guys are so good that their job aren't in jeopardy, or they don't have to go out and earn it. And there's, you know, on Wednesday, this is our starting group. It's Ursere. On Thursday, doesn't have to be Ursere at right tackle. So
yeah, I feel like the only one entrenched, and he's actually playing a new position, is Titus Howard at right guard. There's the money involved.
Yeah.
And you would assume he would be your best bet there, even though he has not played that position before.
Yes.
While I understand what you're saying,
it's the finances, really.
Yeah, where you're saying there's no one who, if there was a real competition, you would just say this person's going to win it, because we just have to see it play out. I think Titus Howard would be the only one who's actually not involved in a comp potential.
Yeah,
like Dan Robinson probably too. But
he can play like three different positions.
Yeah, so he can be someone that if you don't really have an answer some spot,
and he has to beat up one of these guys at one of these positions.
Yeah, I feel like Cam Robinson
And left at left tackle.
Unless anyone thinks Trent Brown is winning that job, feels like that's Kent Robinson's job to lose. And Titus Howard at right guard.
It could be one of the second round tackles. You could talk me into either Fisher or Ursary being the left tackle. Because again, it's not like Cam Robinson, it's Orlando Pace
here.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it. Orlando Pace.
Like, it's not like he's some left tackle, you know.
It's not even George Fant.
Yeah, like, it's Cam Robinson.
Yeah.
So, if you want to
if he's atrocious, yes, I'm sure he could get benched.
And Blake Fisher is in the camp, maybe it's a little bit like Reed Sheppard this season, where it's like, I don't have to see it from you, but I kind of need to see you in this role. Like, Blake Fisher, you probably should win a starting job coming out of camp if you're a second-round pick from 2024.
Yes, and like you said, we're not going to read too much into it any into it.
I'm not there yet. It's just like if, you know.
But if Ursary is taking the right tackle spot away from Blake Fisher and there's not a spot for Blake Fisher in the starting five, then
exactly.
You start to ask some questions.
That's why the tackle, like if both tackles pan out, I just one at left, one at right. Let's do it. That's awesome. Awesome. We nailed two second round picks on tackles, but I'm not expecting that.
Yeah, it would be a departure from Nick Caserio's history of drafting offensive linemen. So having it happen where these two guys are locked down guys at left and right tackle for years to come feels like a reach, but we'll see. We'll see how things go. Other news is Joe Mixon is on the non football injury list. We know he had a boot, at least it was reported he had a boot on his foot. At least for now, he's unavailable. Some other guys, Danico Autry is on the pup, so is Derek Barnett. I mentioned Trent Brown, he's not available, and Jimmy Ward is physically unable to perform for maybe multiple reasons, and some of that likely has to do with off the field stuff. So that's kind of the news from Texans camp. As we said, it's shorts and a helmet, and really, I won't have any takeaways for the most part until I see a preseason game or at least have a report from a joint practice. Now, Will Kunkel is going to be out there for the better part of training camp, and he'll join us. Join the station. He'll join John and Lance on Friday at 8:30 to discuss what's going on as the Texans are getting going. So Will Kunkel will be a big part of our Texans coverage going forward. We will go to break with that. We'll come back with Sean's list of the day. We celebrate list season with another list, and I believe Sean let me know it's going to come from On3 Sports, which is...
They're the MVPs of this.
So far. And because they cover college sports, we're going to hear from a college coach right before we get to that list. Rhett Lashley has some things to say about the SEC and the ACC because it's that time of the year where you already start stumping for an event that's going to happen. What are we talking about now? 18 to 20 weeks from now, the final standings in the CFP, we're already laying the groundwork for why certain teams should be more recognized because of the conference they're in and why other teams shouldn't be. We're already doing that. Rhett Lashley, one of many, to talk about why their conference is better than the others. We'll get to what he said, and then we'll get to the list when we come back.
Missed any of today's show? Then download the podcast now wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So let's hear from Rhett Lashley here. He is the coach at SMU. His program was at the center of probably the only real debate involving the college football playoff at the end. Should it have been SMU? Should it have been Alabama? All stemming from the fact that SMU lost to Clemson by a walk-off field goal in the ACC title game. If we remember, Clemson kind of had control of that game, and then SMU fought back to tie it late. Clemson makes a field goal, and it was the perfect storm for two ACC teams to get in, and no one from that 9-3 batch of SEC teams to get in. So Rhett Lashley, who coached in the SEC, I believe played in the SEC, is now going to take shots at the SEC because he coaches for an ACC school who just recently got in the ACC because the ACC was desperate to keep their conference alive. That's enough context. Here's Rhett Lashley yesterday.
When it comes to our league, it should be talked about more. It should be easy. I just shed some light. I mean, there's only been three leagues win a national championship that have teams in their league right now since 1990. All the teams that have won a national championship since 1990 are either in the ACC, the SEC, or the Big Ten. Since I mentioned in the last 15 years, we're tied for the second most championships with three with the Big Ten. I don't know why that's not talked about more. We have national brands. We've won championships. The revenue is almost double who's fourth. We have our own network, the competition, the investment. I just think it speaks for itself. And so most people want to see things decided on the field, so let's let it happen that way. I don't think there's any question that if it stayed at 12, we're every year a multi-bid league. I mean, Miami should have been last year at 10-2. There's no question they were one of the top 12 teams in America. But it does get tough, and especially when you have a human committee making decisions. Again, it's a hard job. It's set up for failure. They're great people. They do the best they can. When it comes,
all right, he went on to say, I guess that wasn't included.
Yeah, he got cut off.
Where he was big up in his conference. He went on to say that the SEC, only six teams have won the title. It's top heavy. That's not really depth. The teams who everyone props up, they're not real title contenders, so on and so forth. Whatever. Stomp position.
Stomp
do
away.
Do what you need to do. And, of course, resident SEC honk Paul Feinbaum responded, took his shots at Rhett Lashley. It's whatever. We're at this time of the year because the games are still about a month away, but the coaches have to talk. Do I agree? I'm never going to side with the SEC. Not even the schools themselves, not even the programs themselves. I recognize players want to play there. It's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy because of what they did during the BCS era. It keeps feeding it, and that's why Georgia and Alabama will win, LSU will win, and that's what Rhett Lashley's problem is. It's the LSUs, it's the Alabamas, and the Georgias. And I know he mentioned like six in the SEC because he went back to 1990, but if we shrink it to 2013, since he referenced Florida State winning a title, of course Clemson won theirs. And then I guess he was referencing Miami when they're in the Big Ten or Big East winning their titles since he went back to 1990. I guess that's who he was talking about.
Because he was saying that they're currently in
yes.
teams won titles and are currently in three leagues.
Got it. So he was referencing a team who won their titles over 20 years
and
ago
like,
in a different conference.
Oklahoma and Texas won titles in the Big 12. Now they're in the SEC.
Gotcha. Oh, so he referenced them. But since 2013, You've had as if I shrink it because I just want to include the ACC schools who won it while they're in the ACC, Clemson and Florida State. The SEC, it's been Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
Yeah,
Auburn won it
in 11 or 10 or 11.
Yeah, so since the ACC won their title in 2013, it's been three SEC schools. Now you've had challengers, of course, Florida in years prior. Was certainly good.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it has been those three.
Yeah. For the most part.
And only those three.
Nick Saban
really were title contenders.
Yeah. For the most part, that's the thing that like Rhett Lashley like can't say is that it's like, it's Nick Saban and it's Kirby Smart who got continued it. And for the ACC, for the most part, it's Dabo Swinney.
Yeah. The guy who won it at Florida State is now covering the ACC for the ACC network in Jimbo Fisher. He's no longer coaching.
But That's why a lot of the measuring contest that happens with all these conferences, especially the SEC, it's like, man, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer are letting a lot of fan bases talk a lot of tough talk because they won national championships. Now, like, we have to hear it from the Mississippi schools and from Tennessee.
Lane Kiffin stumped for why they should be in the
playoff. It's like.
Now, at least he was a coordinator on the title team.
Yeah, at least he has a piece of the,
He was responsible for some of it.
He helped refigure how they run offense.
Sure, but
still, dude.
I got to listen to I don't know if he's done it yet, but he probably will. I got to listen to Clark Lee stump for why the SEC is so great because of Vanderbilt. What? And credit to
Clark Lee should not do
and
that.
Credit to Clark Lee for what he did
doing
at Vanderbilt
a great
last
job.
Year.
He shouldn't stoop to those levels.
But Mike Elko, pipe down if it comes to that. And he took a customary shot at Texas in his presser at SEC Media Days because, of course, you would.
I got to, man.
Got to. Got to do it. Got to.
What is the point of Media Day? That's why, like, I'm okay with this. It's like, what is the point of Media Day? Like, why would I listen to Rhett Lashley talk for five straight minutes if he wasn't going to do
if
this?
If you're just going to be boring and talk about Brandon Jennings and what you're doing at in Dallas.
I yeah, although I would ask the question, like, hey, the last two games
Kevin
of the
Jennings,
season.
Excuse me, Kevin, not Brandon. Kevin Jennings.
Yeah, last two games of the season, Kevin Jennings basically lost you the game in the first quarter of both games.
How did it feel for his dad?
How's he not going to do that when you play good teams this year? Because also, SMU, that was the only two times you played like really good teams.
Yeah, and your quarterback did not bathe himself in glory in either game. Of course, the Penn State first half was an absolute disaster, mostly for us because it allowed Penn State to continue to be in the playoff and then eventually.
Yeah. Come on, Kevin Jennings.
Almost.
We got a gin
almost beat Notre Dame.
We got a gin dust push, dude.
Yeah, what are you doing? Now, at least it's, they only beat SMU.
Exactly. That's how we win.
Yeah.
That's
it doesn't how we matter win. It doesn't matter what James Franklin does. We always find a way out.
James Franklin basically has to beat one of like three teams, and he doesn't do it.
Yeah. And if you are,
and then we win. Then we profit. That's how we win.
If you're being logical and you want to shoot him some bail, and really it's still an insult to him, he doesn't recruit at the level of Ohio State. So should a James Franklin team beat Ohio State 10 times, how many times should that happen? Maybe 3 out of 10. Maybe.
Okay. But he's at 1 out of 10 right now.
Yeah, so he's once again, we always win, yeah. Sean. We always win. No matter what you want to do to shoot him some bail, we still find a way
even
to win.
Even if they beat Notre Dame. Beat Notre Dame. Yeah. Was Notre Dame one?
And they didn't even beat Notre Dame. Drew Allard blew that one late. Once again, one of our agendas coming through again. Drew Allard, James Franklin, and Penn State. Those agendas never die. All right, you have a list.
Yes.
It's list season.
So list of the day.
Which publication? I believe we know it's On3 Sports.
On3, who might be the unofficial sponsors of this. Although CBS Sports will also provide.
Hell, and I went to ESPN yesterday because it was a basketball one. So we have some variety. But what is the list from On3 today?
From J.D. Pickle. Pickle? I don't know. I've never heard him say his name out loud.
If I'm JD, I'm going with Pickell.
But
I don't know.
It's Pickell.
That feels like Pickell, but we never know.
Okay, from JD Pickle. The best games for every week of the college football season. Now, you might be asking yourself, how do you do the best games of the season in November? We don't know who's going to be good. JD knows.
Didn't stop JD.
JD knows. All right, week zero, Kansas State, Iowa State. Think we're good with that.
Week zero, yeah.
Farmageddon. That's actually
good.
A good game.
Yeah, that is.
Week one, what logo is it? Oh, Texas Longhorns are playing Ohio
State.
You're
confused about what the logo is?
Yeah.
Look at that.
By the way, we will get to some more Texas games.
Real erasure of the Catholic versus convict rivalry that's going on that same weekend.
Like a honorable mention for every week. Maybe we can get JD on that later. Mm-hmm. Week two, Michigan goes to Norman, Oklahoma to play the Sooners.
Now, in name, that's good. Is it going to be good football?
This has some potential, and I don't say this lightly because this was the best game that I've best college football game I attended while a student at UT. This has big 2016 Texas versus Notre Dame vibes of awesome helmet matchup. Both these teams might go 5-7.
Yeah,
or
Bryce Underwood.
7-5.
Good luck, buddy. And John Mateer is a good quarterback. We'll see if what's around John Mateer at Oklahoma is.
But whoever wins this
enough.
Whoever wins this that night, I guess this is a night game because I'm assuming it's a night game. This night, it's a program defining win for whichever head
Will
coach.
It
is the best win of this head coach's time at this school. Probably not actually for Brent Venables, but. Given the, hey, I might get fired this year.
What about Sharon Moore's interim wins when he was replacing Jim Harbaugh? Did he beat Ohio State as the interim?
He did.
Yeah. And went on to.
He beat him last year.
As the head. Yeah. So Oklahoma will not be his best win.
I guess not. I guess not. But yeah, it's one of those like, oh, the program is moving in the right direction after beating this team. And then in November, we won't revisit it if the team they beat ends up going 6-6.
And if you don't know the reference to the 2016,
yeah,
it is the famous Texas is back, folks.
Yes,
right?
Yes. It is the Joe Tessitore Texas is back, folks, when Tyrone Swoops in the 18-wheeler package reached for the goal line to score in overtime to lead Texas over Notre Dame. I think that was a top 10 win for Charlie Strong, Texas, who would later go on to go 5-7 that year, and Charlie Strong was fired. Mm-hmm. And that Notre Dame team went 4-8.
And that's why I have that sounder to play it ironically, because it still makes me laugh.
Funny, I didn't even realize it until like November of that year, where I was like, that game didn't really mean much, huh?
All that excitement.
It was an awesome game.
It was
it was
a great game. It was a great game.
What week are we on? Four? No, three. It's confusing because it starts at zero. Week three, it is Texas A&M going to South Bend, Indiana to play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Rematch of week one's premier game last year.
That was the game where maybe A&M fans weren't there yet, where all my suspicions were confirmed. Connor Wegman, you're not that guy. Not that guy. All right, what's next?
I like Wegman in the Willie Fritz off.
Better than I like him in the SEC with A&M. I agree.
Next week, week four. This is, I think, hold on. Yes, this is the only one that does not involve a SEC or Big Ten team other than week one. This is another Big 12 matchup. Arizona State going to Waco to play the Baylor Bears.
The defending Big 12 champions, Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yes, that's going up correct. Against a, I'd say a Baylor team that has some optimism. Bringing back Sawyer Robertson, bringing back, I think their offense coordinator's back as well. And Dave Aranda, another year to figure things out in Baylor now that they're paying players. He was so excited to say that they have an NIL program now.
You are at a distinct disadvantage when you don't have one. And they're coming off a bowl loss in the great state of Texas, in the great city of Houston. They lost the Texas Bowl to LSU.
That's right.
Dave Aranda had a winning season last year. Of course, we know, well, maybe you don't, but he does have a Big 12 championship on his resume, right? Then they beat Oklahoma State, or did Oklahoma State beat them?
I think that was Matt Rhule. No, wait. No, that was
Aranda.
Yeah, that was Aranda.
And so he, early on in his tenure, things were, if you want to go off the fumes of the Matt Rhule's era, things are going well.
Yeah, maybe that's unconsciously.
So they made a bowl last year. There's some optimism. Nice to have your quarterback back. We'll see how the Baylor Bears do. What's next?
Next game. I mean, this is just whatever. Free space. Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk about this?
Not really.
Okay.
No. We all get it, yeah.
The next week, Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns go to the Swamp to play DJ Lagway and the Florida Gators. Which one of these quarterbacks with very little experience but a lot of hype coming into the season are going to be a big fat fraud? That's what we'll find out.
I love a fraud watch
in week six. Even though, you know,
now Florida
they could play well and lose, but yeah. Nah, they're still a fraud.
Now Florida will play LSU, Miami, have an off week, and then play Texas. Not exactly an easy path to that point. DJ Lagway may be stamped as a fraud before we even get to that game.
Or a Heisman, oh my God, favorite. He's Cam Newton.
Yeah. We won't know until the games are played. Yeah. But yeah, that's a big quarterback.
We are getting to the point of the season. Yeah. Like, we have one more game that I understand why it's the top one of that week. Maybe specifically because it's me. After that, we are getting into heavy speculation as to whether this game will actually be that important.
Very much so. Florida has to go to LSU and to Miami. Those are games that after they host LIU and South Florida. So they could very well be 2-2. And J.D. Piquel will look foolish, but we will see.
Next game, Red River Rivalry.
Don't even have to talk
about
it.
Oklahoma, yeah. Texas. The next one, week nine, the USC Trojans go to South Bend to play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Well,
this
game
is the one where I'm like,
ooh, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was that, There must be a soft week.
Yeah, there normally is like a soft October week where it's just how it ends up in, because now we're in the thick of conference schedules. Obviously, this isn't a conference game, but you know, where it's just, hey, it just kind of worked out where Ohio State's playing Purdue and Alabama's playing Mississippi State, and like there really isn't any like top frontline game. I think this falls into it because it's like SEC who or USC who's like, you know, I'm interested, but I don't think it's going to be awesome.
And you
versus
know what?
Notre Dame, who's going to be awesome.
Paul Feinbaum, surprisingly enough, took a shot at Lincoln Riley.
No way.
So let's get to that sound. Did I throw it on the rundown?
Yes.
Let's get to Paul Feinbaum taking a shot at the USC head coach Lincoln Riley, considering we just talked about his team being the best game of week 9.
But I want to say one thing before I go. The thing that I'm most excited about Big Ten Media Days is I want to hear Lincoln Riley try to explain his last 2 years, because I can't think of anybody's whose coaching has been more fraudulent since his first year with Caleb Williams. And I say that as somebody who admired what Lincoln Riley did at OU. I didn't admire the way he left, but I really think, and I know a lot of people are still gnashing teeth in Norman and Oklahoma City and across that state, but I frankly believe the Sooner Nation is better off today than it would have been had he stayed around, because there is something wrong with this guy, Darian. I know we don't have time. I know we're at the end of the segment, but I did want to close on that note. I am underwhelmed, and I can't think of a coach in modern time who's making the kind of money that he's making who has done less.
And that line, there's something wrong with this guy, is the one where like, whoa, this got to be personal. Yes, the SEC tenure after Caleb Williams, or since his first year, hasn't been great. 8-5, 7-6, not what they brought him in for. But there's something wrong with him? What does that mean?
Yeah.
If you have an issue with his coaching, okay. But when you throw it out there, and maybe he did it on purpose so he didn't have to explain it. I know we don't have a lot of time, Dari. Is Dari Noka still with the ESPN? But that's the Dari he's talking about.
Yeah,
Dari Noka.
I think it was his radio show. He's still on
ESPN. So there's something wrong with this guy. All right, Paul, you get away without actually explaining what that means.
Yeah.
Now you're fighting with Rhett Lashley. Surprisingly enough, two guys who aren't in the SEC taking a shot at those coaches. That's a surprise. All right, let's get to the last couple games before we wrap it up for the segment.
Two teams that could either be playoff teams or probably not fire their coaches, but for it would be very uncomfortable. Maybe they're 7-5 or 10-2. LSU versus A&M. In Baton Rouge. Again, this is where it's like, I'm sure this will be on an ABC, SEC on ABC game. It might be the 11 o'clock game if both these teams fail to reach expectations.
Sure.
Our guy, James Franklin, goes to the Shoe to play Ohio State. I feel like I feel comfortable being like, this will probably be the biggest game
of
this
week.
I
also feel comfortable saying without this game's a foregone conclusion of how it's going to go.
Yeah.
No matter where Penn State is ranked, no matter where Ohio State is ranked, and Ohio State
will be like a 3.5-point favorite, and we'll just be like, yeah.
And they'll beat them by three scores. Yeah.
Alabama LSU, in case you loved, 2011, that's JD's best game of week 11. Again, another one where I'm like, LSU better figure things out. And Alabama also better
find a quarterback. Yeah.
Figure some things out. Texas, Georgia, rematch of the SEC title game in Athens in week 12. Anything? Nothing. Texas coming off a bye.
That's great for them. The SEC is still, is it? I forget what everything that changes. The SEC isn't division based anymore, right? So that could be we play each other this week and then we see each other again.
Yeah.
In the SEC title game, or could decide who makes the SEC title game with Georgia and Texas.
Heavy speculation with this next one. Tennessee going to the Swamp to play Florida again.
That is very speculative.
This might be bowl eligibility on the line for one of these teams.
Very possible.
And then wrapping it up with Ohio State, Michigan for the last week of the season.
I'm going to say JD didn't do a great job of looking across the country to find, hey, you know what, maybe there's a game that – decides the Sun Belt that you should be looking at. Didn't do a lot of that, I believe.
Yeah.
didn't even throw in Army versus Navy, although that's a separate thing altogether.
Yeah, that would have been a great pander move.
Yeah.
Just throw in the only game that week.
Sure. All right, we'll go to break with that. That is our list of the day. We'll have another one tomorrow. It's what we do. Well, at least it's what they do, and we just highlight what they're
doing.
And
we talk about it.
And we talk about it. All right, one more segment to go. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So the greatest rivalry in sports currently going right now, you know, beyond Paul Feinbaum against non-SEC head coaches, is the Cowboys versus their best players when it comes to giving them money. And the latest, following Dak and CD, is Micah Parsons. So Jerry had his time in the sun to talk about why giving a guy all that money is something you really have to consider because, you know, he may not be available for 17 games, Jerry acknowledging that football is physical. Well, Micah Parsons responded yesterday at Cowboys practice with, I guess, his work wife, Trayvon Diggs, standing right next to him. I'm not sure why they had to do a joint press conference, I guess, because Diggs is looking for money too. But they decided to stand next to each other and do it. So a lot of sound from that. What you're going to hear is Micah Parsons explaining his position and actually having some awareness of how the Cowboys do business.
You see these other teams taking care of their best guys. I see TJ got taken care of. Max got taken care of. Miles got taken care of. And he got 2 years left on his deal, so... It's hard to, you see a lot of people around the league being taken care of. You just, you know, wish you had something that, you know, that same type of energy, you know.
It's hard to not take it personally?
I wouldn't say it's hard not to take it personally when you know how there's a, when there's a, you know, chain of events of something consistently happening over the course of years when you kind of see it before through other players and things. So you don't take that, you don't take it personally when you're like, all right, it's not like I'm getting treated differently than anyone else. You know, so I don't take it personally. I just don't understand.
So he knows the deal, as I laid it out. Happened to Dak, happened to CD, and now it's just happening to you, to him. We talked, AJ and I talked yesterday because AJ's a Cowboy fan, and he's under the belief, under the impression, I agree, that Michael will get his money. Jerry just likes to do this. He likes to let it play out. There is a conspiracy theory that Jerry just loves the Cowboys in the news. So what's better than having a contract dispute to keep your team name in the news?
Yeah.
Your conversations on First Take about the Cowboys.
How else would they lead First Take?
Yeah, if the Cowboys were doing business in a regular fashion, what else would they talk about?
What were we talking about?
It's Dak good enough. That would be the conversation instead.
George Pickens.
Yeah, George Pickens. So they would always be in the A block, but they guarantee themselves maybe the top billing in the A block when they have a contract dispute with their best player.
It is also... Like, even if I want to give credence to, like, this is why they do it, is just like, hey, draw it out, you know, make them sweat for the contract, whatever old-timey Jerry Jones reason he has. Keep them hungry. I mean, he is also then setting the record for highest paid at each position every time he signs one of these guys to a contract. I'm not sure if that's a trade I'd be willing to make of, hey, we'll never sign a team-friendly deal, but... At least,
I don't,
again,
and
God,
I also
people
don't
are
think
talking
he,
about that.
I don't even think he minds doling out the Cowboys' name associated with giving out the biggest deal at the time in NFL history for a position. I don't think he minds that either.
I mean...
Because he never says no.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I understand that. It's just... It'd make me so sad if I was a Cowboys fan, because... Well, because you're rooting for like branding opportunity, basically.
As opposed to, you know, running a team the right way. Yeah, instead of running a team in a proper way, you are doing things to keep your name in the headlines.
Brand ambassador Jerry Jones.
As just the Cowboys, I just had an image of Jerry Jones in leggings and a black T-shirt handing out stuff.
That's
handing out Cowboys merch.
Yeah,
yeah. you're rooting for a team who doesn't operate in a normal way, but you've come to accept it.
Which is insane because you brought up that, like, they just paid Dak. They did this with Dak. They did this with CD. Now they're doing it with Micah Parsons. They're a great drafting team. They
hit on guys
super well,
which is why it's probably very upsetting that it doesn't translate to winning at a very high level.
Even like Diggs, who was, you know, the emotional support corner in this, like
they hit on him.
Yeah, like they
and of course their offensive line history is not as good as it once was, but their offensive line was one of the best in football because of what they did in the draft. Yeah, they do a good job acquiring talent. It just never comes together.
It is the funniest way to run a team is that you're good at like the not sexy parts, but you're like, man, we really just want to do sexy stuff. We really want to pay guys a lot of money. We want stars. We want to make trades. We want to make things happen. Like, and it's like, but also we're just very competent at drafting the trenches, and that makes us, you know, they're never terrible,
and Dak
or they haven't been terrible.
And Dak
very
was
often.
A mid-round pick that they hit on for all the crap that Dak gets for what he hasn't accomplished. That was a mid-round guy who they hit on.
Top 10 quarterback.
Yeah,
and I know. Phone line's about to light up because I called him a top 10 quarterback, but like
it's fine.
Yeah,
he is one when he's healthy.
Yeah, getting that in the fourth round's incredible. Yeah. Davis Mills was the third round pick by the Texans, and we just accept that, like, yeah, he's just going to be terrible.
Yeah,
until they draft a real guy.
They chose Case Keenum in a game that they cared about before they wanted to play Davis Mills. That's how it is. So what we're saying is,
shout out to the Cowboys.
They can't even overcome. They can't overcome themselves. They can't. That's who they are.
Yeah, no, I said shout out to the Cowboys, and then I heard AJ go, thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, it's very complimentary what we're doing right now.
They're a good drafting team.
Which feels
like... I did also just call them basically the Alex Earl of the NFL, but they're great drafting.
Alex Earl in town, and her boyfriend was on the field, back in action for the for the Texans, Braxton Berrios.
Was he one of the first wide receivers to line up, or...
I didn't see that. I just know he wasn't available really throughout the offseason, but he was there... For training camp. So the Cowboys are a mess. The Texans less so. And football's back, at least when it comes to practicing football. And we will inch closer and closer to things that matter, like actual pads and joint practices and, of course, preseason games. With that, we are done for the day. I kept talking about the Bryce Matthews thing. We never got to it. He pretty much said the organization is one that welcomes you and makes you feel like a part of the team. And Christian Walker said the same thing when he was with MLB Network. He credits that to Altuve. And, of course, Altuve's been the common denominator throughout the run. And that organization, the Astros, whether you're new as a prospect or new as a veteran who comes from the outside, they make you feel at home. And that's why they keep winning. And they've won now 3 in a row, in large part to Bryce Matthews, who Sean has said is untouchable.
Untouchable. He better be on the team in August.
That is one's hope. A lot of people's hopes, actually. We are done for the day, so what does that mean, Sean?
That peanut butter skin.
Don't know if that's in reference to the RBI program or not. We're just going to leave it alone. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.